welcome you back. We're going to be all over in your Bible today, Old and New Testament. All right, I want to make sure you know your Bible from front to back. I'm hoping we can have some testimonies next week. I got some cool testimonies, and so some of them are not here today, so I hopefully can catch up on them next week. So Tuesday is going to be a special day for a young lady. And so it is my mom's 87th birthday. I'm going to go up to South Dakota this afternoon, later today, and then help celebrate. You know what? I wonder. I won't post the message, but can you I'll do a shout out to her, because she listens to the messages every Sunday afternoon. So can you wish her happy birthday? One, two, three.
Happy birthday!
All right. Yes, she'll enjoy that. So, amen. So we are doing a series called Make Room. Today is the last Sunday for this series. So far we've talked about make room for prayer, for the study of God's Word. Been hearing some good, where people are actually taking what is happening on Sunday, implementing it. So that's, maybe we can get some testimonies on that next week. Rebecca, you actually made out your rule of life, didn't you? You got that done. So that was part of our small group, but also it does tie in with our message. So, fasting once a week, so good. So, we did God's Word, Sabbath rest. Last week was fasting. Today we're going to look at the practice of generosity. Now, I don't know if you'd put generosity into the category of a practice, a spiritual practice, but I think it is. And it is one that is really hit upon in the Old and the New Testament. So if you go to Webster's or your definition, I looked it up on my phone in my dictionary, it says generosity can be defined as a readiness to give and to give liberally, all right? So when you have the opportunity to give, do you go turn the other way and run, or do you look for the opportunity to give? It is to give liberally. It is freedom from meanness, ooh, and smallness of mind or character. It is living with largeness and fullness. You look throughout Scripture, there were several people that were known to be generous. Boaz, Abraham, kind of read through Scripture. In the New Testament, it was Barnabas, right, that was known as being generous. He sold his land, right, and gave it to the church to help out the poor. That's generous, all right? So generosity is extended many different ways. It is giving of your time, it is giving of your talents, and it's giving of material things as well. So this morning, I want us to look at how we can make room for generosity in our lives and why we should do it. So before we do, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, give us open hearts to hear and to implement, Lord God, what you are saying to us through your word. We give you the thanks. We ask in your name. Amen. Amen. So why make room for generosity in our lives? Okay, so we've given the illustration that often our homes can get full and they can get cluttered. We just got rid of a desk this week, and so we hauled it to New Beginnings. Otto helped me out, so Emily and Selena's father helped us, Sierra's helped me haul it out there. But in the process, there were some filing cabinet drawers in there, and stuff, you know, a lot of it went through the paper shredder, making room, right? It was stuff that was taking up space that wasn't used. But I did find some things from Daniel, our youngest son, his scholarships, actually, he got for his senior year to go to college. And I said, do you want them? He said, yes. So we'll take those down in March. We're going to go down and see the family down in Springfield. But a lot of it was shredded, but I kept some things that we wanted, right? We made room for some things, and that's what happens often, whether it's our garage, it's the room in our house, our bedroom, our living room. We keep adding, but we don't remove, right? And sometimes, yeah, get rid of it, right? Well, sometimes we can sell it. Sometimes it just needs to go in the trash can. Sometimes we need to keep those things, right? It's kind of, oh, I need to hang on to this, right? Because it's important. The key is that we want to make room for key practices in our life, and those get priority, right? Those should have priority in our life. So the first thing that I see, why should we make room for generosity? First of all, I'm going to give you the point up front. I do that sometimes at the end, sometimes at the beginning. Today you're going to get them up front. God's word instructs us to be generous, okay? So we're going to look at several passages here. First of all, we're going to look at Deuteronomy 15, 10 through 11. All right, so think about these people that are being instructed here, Old Testament, they don't have this, do they? Right? So God has given them the Ten Commandments, and then he's speaking through Moses and instructing them how they were to live for God. And verse 10 says, it's talking about just being generous to people that were in need. Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Right? You ever given because you felt like you had to or you're pressured to? You didn't want to, but you did anyway. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and everything you put your hand to. So there's some blessing that comes with giving joyfully. There will always be poor in the land. There's always going to be people, there's always going to be needs around us. Okay? Therefore, I command you to be open-handed, right? Not closed-handed, but open-handed towards your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. So that was an instruction that God gave to the people then. They weren't always only to be generous towards God, but also be generous concerning the needs of the people around them. Amen? Amen. I think that is so important. Then in the New Testament, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17 through 19, command those who are rich in this present world, and I don't know how you define rich, but it's there, in this present world, not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Now, I don't think Paul is saying, hey, don't have an emergency plan, right? Money in the bank for those emergencies because your car will break down. You will have emergencies that happen, right? You need to have that savings there so that when it happens, it's not like a freak out moment, right? Okay? And I've had some of those freak out moments, right? And so you have to have those emergency funds set aside so when it happens, you're ready, all right? So, and you need to plan for retirement because you just do, right? You don't maybe need $1 billion in the bank, okay? And you maybe don't need $100 million in the bank, but you probably need to have some money set aside, right? For retirement, okay? So, I rabbit trailed there again, groundhog, okay? But to those who put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for your enjoyment, verse 18, command those to do good, to be rich in good deeds, so that's using our time and our talents, to be generous and willing to share, okay, now of material things. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves, have a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. So I think Scripture is clear. Sometimes we hear about in a church that you need to be generous towards God. So I think you do need to be generous towards God. But you also need to be generous to the needs around us, right? To our neighbors, to the people that we come in contact with. There is that idea of generosity. And God instructing us to be generous, he's actually wanting to bless us through it. Isn't that cool? That's really cool. Which kind of leads to our second point. That generosity brings meaning to your life. You would think that just hoarding things would bring meaning to your life, wouldn't it? How'd that go for the Scrooge? It didn't go well, did it? It didn't, no. We hoard, and instead of being a person that people want to hang out with, nobody wants to hang around somebody that is a Scrooge, right? They want to be around people that are generous. Generosity will bring meaning to your life. Now, Paul says in Acts 20 through 35, Luke is the one that records it, but he says, in everything I did, I showed that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive. All right? Now, does that sound like something Jesus would say? Yeah, I think it would be. Now, we don't see it recorded in the Gospels, but I believe he probably said it, all right? Because it's there, all right? And we can definitely see that that was who Jesus was, right? He gave of himself, right? Jesus left the throne of heaven to live in humility, to live amongst us so that we could have the hope of heaven. He gave. And this is what Hebrews has to say. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, so the book of Hebrews, the author there, he's taken us to the throne room of heaven, and there's a stadium filled with people that have gone on before us, and guess who they're cheering for? Who? Us. Yeah. They're cheering for you and I that are still running the race, right? And they're saying, hey, you're going to make it, right? We got the home field advantage, right? That's important. And they're cheering for us. So let us throw off the sin that it hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, right? Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the what? Joy set before him, right? He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right throne of, at the right hand of God, right hand of the throne of God. There we go. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. What I want to catch there is because Jesus endured the cross, why? The joy that was set before him. What was the joy set before him? What was the joy set before him? What was he so excited about that he was willing to go through the pain of the cross and endure it? What was the joy? Saving us. Somebody said it. You were the joy that was set before him, your salvation. And the people that have gone on before and the people that are still come, it was the joy of seeing people come to know Christ, having the hope of salvation that says, you know what? Going through the cross is worth it. It was the joy set before him. It is better to give than to receive, folks. I like receiving a good gift, but there's something about giving a good gift to somebody else, isn't there? That brings joy to your heart. And there's some of you, I know maybe better than some of you. I know I have the opportunity as pastor to kind of know sometimes things about people's lives that maybe I wouldn't otherwise. But there's some of you that's what floats your boat, is being generous. And you go to extreme lengths to be generous. And I just find that so cool. And you just do it. And it's what brings meaning and value to your life. And so that is so cool. It is truly more blessed to give than receive. Jesus says this in Luke 6:38. Give and it'll be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, right? Shaken together, running over, it'll be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. Now, sometimes we want people to be generous towards us. And we want things to go our way. But if we aren't generous ourselves to other people, you see what Jesus is saying there? He says, in the same measure you give towards others, it'll be brought back to you. So if you want God to be generous to you and to bless you, we also have to be generous to God and to the world around us. Amen? I think the idea that I see in Scripture is that we are a conduit. We're not to be a reservoir. Not that I have anything against reservoirs, right? Okay? But we're not to be a reservoir where we hold all the water, everything towards ourselves. We're to be a river that God flows through, to be a channel to bless other people. God blesses us, whether it is with his Holy Spirit, whether it's with finances, whether it's gifts and talents and time. He blesses us, right? And he doesn't want us to keep it here, but he wants us then to extend that to the world around us, right? He wants us to be that conduit that he can pour into so that the world can be blessed around us. And we are the conduit. We are the river that God wants to flow through. If we're generous towards God and our fellow human being, God will in turn bless us back. Now, it's not like, I don't know. Is it like I give $100 in the offering and I get $100 in the mail? I don't know. I don't think it works like that. It may. It sometimes does. But sometimes it may work in other ways where I take a step of faith and my God maybe somehow works it out where I'm blessed even beyond what I just gave. Right? And I don't think it's always the amount. I think it's, I give what I have, right? I give what I have and let God bless it. And I'll talk more about that, okay? 2 Corinthians 9:6-11. This is more talking about, I think, giving more of material things. But Paul is instructing the church in Corinth. We're doing 1 Corinthians. for the youth in the back. Okay, we talked about how that church was started on Paul's second missionary journey. But he says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your own heart. I think this is good stuff here, folks. I've been in services where I've felt pressured to give. Okay, I put out there that I think we need to give, but I hope you never feel like you have to give. That if you don't, if you give because I tell you to give, then you're giving for the wrong reasons. We give because it is a joy, it is a pleasure. That's what Scripture calls us to. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, you've freely scattered their gifts to the poor, and their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. So you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So the context there is that they're helping him in his missionary endeavors, right? And God says, Paul's saying, you know what? As you are generous, God's going to ensure that you can keep on being generous. Isn't that cool? And we should get that, right? We're in Nebraska, right? If the farmer goes out there and he just skimps on the seed, right? Because seed's expensive, right? It's really expensive. I don't know how much a bag of seed is. I've lost track on that. All I know is it's expensive. But if they skimp on the seed and they put it in the ground and then all of a sudden it comes to fall harvest, they go, man, my harvest is so small compared to my neighbor's. Well, it's because why? They skimped on the seed. But the farmer that then kind of maximized, they put the seed in the ground, the rains came, the sun, and they had a great harvest. It's because they put the seed in the ground accordingly. And I believe it works that way spiritually. This is what Proverbs says, 22:9. Great stuff there. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. You know, I talked about my mom, and my mom, I don't know if they were ever considered wealthy. There was times that we, actually it was difficult. When we moved up to Alaska, it was a difficult moment in our life. It was a difficult moment. And God, they did everything right. But as a high schooler, you're helping them out a little bit financially in the move. You know that things are tough. You know what? But God turned things around for my family and blessed them. But they did what was right. They paid back some debt. And God blessed them over and over again for their faithfulness. But my mom, one of her talents and her gifts and the things that just makes her day is to give to other people. And so she's always like baked goods or whatever. That was her thing, is that she likes to give them to her neighbors. And she still does that to this day. That's who she is. Psalms 112, verse 5, good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. So not only generosity, but also in that idea of justice, that we are treating people generously in that area of justice, right? Proverbs 11:25, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. If you want a blessed life and you want people to be generous towards you, and most of all, if you want God to be generous towards you, it begins with us also being generous to the world around us. It's that cycle. Amen? So God instructs us to be generous. We're reminded that it will be blessed as we're generous. But number three, I think, is even the most important. Generosity captures the heart of God. When we are generous, we are like God. We are capturing His heart, who He is, His attitude, His nature. So when we're generous, we're becoming more like Him. Okay? 2 Corinthians again, chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, okay, He was in heaven, He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords, He has it all, yet for our sake He became poor, He came to earth, gave up all the riches, all the status, became like us, so that through his poverty we might become rich. See, that's the attitude that God wants us to have in our own life. Titus, written by Paul, chapter 3, verse 4 through 7. But when the kindness and the love of our God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us not because of the righteous things that we've done, but because of his mercy, right? Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. When we are generous to God and to the others, we capture the heart of God. It is what God did for us and is doing for us and will do for us. And when we show kindness, we give generously, we share with God's people, with the world around us, we share God's love, right? We share God's love. You know, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, we don't have a slide for this, but it says that he's blessed us. And the words that he uses, like he uses all these adjectives and superlatives, and he's lavished on us his grace, his love, his mercy. And I think God wants us to replicate that in our lives. Do we have to live within our means? Yeah, we do. You know, if we don't have $1 million, we can't go out there and give $10 million to our neighbor, right? Right? I think God just wants us. What has he entrusted to us? Can we be generous with what he has blessed us with? And as the musicians come, I want to just touch briefly. What keeps us from being generous? What keeps us from being generous? I think there's a variety of reasons. I think two big ones are maybe fear and selfishness. I think fear is a big one though, right? You know, I got myself to provide for, so that maybe is a little bit selfish there. I have a family to provide for and look out for. Yeah, you do. And so we have to navigate that fear and selfishness. How can we counter that? We may feel like we have a lack of time or resources to be generous. So how do we combat that? First of all, I think we need to build margin into our lives. So that begins with my schedule. That if I pack every moment in your calendar, you know, you just go, there's no gap in there. You don't have any margin. I can guarantee you a lot of things take longer than what we budget for, right? Right? All right, I was fixing my pickup on Friday, and it took just a little bit longer. The guy says it takes 5 minutes. It took me an hour to fix it. It's the second time I've had to fix it in 4 years, but usually things take a little bit longer. Budget some margin in there, right? So that you're not button up against things. With your finances, you know, there's been times in my life where I go to a service and it's like, okay, you know, they take up an offering and it's kind of, I give at my church and I give there. I don't want to give here or give to maybe some other people, right? But to budget to be generous. You know what? If you can afford $5 or $10 a week that you could say and say, hey, I'm not going to go to Scooters this week. I'm going to set that money aside and then I'm going to be generous to somebody that God places on my heart that week or that month. Isn't that cool? See, if you're intentional about it and you have that money set aside just for that reason and purpose, you can be generous. You can bless somebody else. Right? You ever been in the line someplace? Usually it's not at a restaurant, but it's happened to us in the restaurant. My wife's here someplace, right? We've gone to Christina's a couple different times, and it's like we get up there and say, yeah, somebody already paid for you. It's kind of like, really? That's pretty cool. Gone up for a coffee a couple times, said, you don't have to pay. Somebody in front of you paid, right? I'm like, wow, that's cool, right? I think we can afford to do that if we plan for that and budget for that. Within our own budget, you know your budget. Hopefully you have a budget, right? Work within, be generous within the means that God has blessed you with. Generosity can be liberating. I believe it releases the grip that selfishness and fear can have on our life. And we've talked, some of the songs have dealt with fear this morning. And I think sometimes, well, God, if I'm generous, will you provide for me? Right? I think God will. That's His word. That's His word. That it, we can be generous towards God and others, and that He will be faithful to allow us to keep doing that. We're generous because God's word instructs us to be generous. It brings meaning to our life, and it captures the heart of God. So in our series, Make Room, we've covered prayer, study of God's word, Sabbath rest, painting. No, I misspelled it here. It's fasting. Generosity. And this last one, yes, generosity. The practices, these spiritual practices, or if you want to call them disciplines, are like a trellis. And I think we have that slide there, don't we, Crystal? Did I leave it in there or not? Maybe I took it out. But the trellis, I've had that up there. What does a trellis for a vineyard do? It lifts it up. There it is. It lifts it up. It guides it. It guards the vine plant so that it is productive. It protects it from the animals, protects it from disease, allows it to grow and to be fruitful. That's what the spiritual practices will do in our life. They lift us up. They guide us. They guard and protect our life. And they help us above all to be fruitful. How many want to be fruitful for God? You want your life to matter. Yeah. Sometimes, because we don't have practices in our life, we don't do a Sabbath, we don't get into God's Word, we don't pray, sometimes sin comes along and destroys our productivity. Sometimes we're just not guided in the right direction, so we don't have good practices in our life, and we're seeing some growth, some fruitfulness, but it could be better if we were pruned and up where we need to be and get in the sunlight. The practices are there to help us to flourish, to grow, to become more like God. Amen? Would you stand this morning? Kids, you've been awesome this morning. They have been, haven't they? They've been good. You too, Kira. Yes, you've been good. Generosity. So when I think of this song, Gracefully Broken, that God, here's my life. This is who I am. This is what I have. Let it flow through me. Amen. I'm going to close this with a prayer of salvation. And I don't know who's watching or who's here that doesn't know Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Would you pray that with me this morning and just invite Christ into your heart and life? Especially if this is your first time, say, Dear God, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and my Savior. And walk with me each day of my life. Amen. Lord, I thank you for each one here. And I pray just in these closing moments, just for your Holy Spirit to guide us. Lord God, the rule of life or just these practices, not one size fits all. Lord God, speak to us by your Holy Spirit. What's lacking? What needs to be strengthened in our life? Maybe it's the prayer. Maybe it's the study of God's Word. Maybe it's that Sabbath rest. Maybe it's generosity. Maybe it's one of the ones I'm missing. But if it's one of those things, the fasting, God, you know what we need in our life so that we can be fruitful. So that we can be grown and become more like you, Lord God. So, Lord God, we invite your Holy Spirit to come to speak to us and guide us and direct us. In your name we pray, amen. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, Christy, if you can join me over here, Gary over here, if you need prayer, let's sing this song together today. Let's just keep praying softly. Hey, can I don't want to put you guys on the spot, but can I have you, Epic Church, would you guys just come up here? Can I have you do that? Awesome. All of them drove down from Lincoln today, so that's cool. Yeah, just, you can face them. Face them. Come up here, but face them. Bobby and Janae, why don't you stand together, husband and wife. But would you do extend your hands towards them? They're gone through this church planting thing before and just this relaunch. And I know they have a heart to reach people in Lincoln that aren't being reached and maybe that are being overlooked. And I just pray that God is guiding this process, that you experience God's favor just going before you. So would you just extend your hands? Lord, I thank you for Bobby and Janae. I pray for their whole family and their congregation that is here with us today. And Lord God, I pray that you'd go before them. Lord God, we know that there's a huge need in Lincoln, just this whole area of Nebraska, Lord God. There are churches, Lord God. There's some good churches, but Lord God, still much of the population is not following you, Lord God. And Lord God, we just pray for favor. I pray that you'd go before them. May they just sense your will. Lord God, I know this process is difficult and it's hard, but go before them. May they sense you just, that wind in the sails, Lord God, just guiding that process, Lord God, and that they're in line with what you are wanting them to do, Lord God. And so, Lord God, may your blessing be upon them, Lord God. May you go before them. We give you the praise. I just pray for strength for them. Strength, Lord God. Just clarity. Joy in the process, Lord God. I pray that you just give them favor with people, Lord God. Maybe even their team needs to grow a little bit, Lord, and that you would bring people alongside to fill if there's some gaps there. People that just need to fill certain roles, Lord God. That you would fill those roles, Lord God, with the right people. And Lord God, we just give you the thanks. We give you the praise. We ask in your precious name. Everybody said, hey, God bless you this morning. Greet each other as you go.